Thank you. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Susan.
Hi, I'm Susan. I'm a recovering addict. And I thought they were going to have the background music for me to help calm me down. Why I keep coming back, first I will tell you that I am sick, and so if I have to stop and take a drink of my water, please excuse me. I've never done this before. I mean, I've spoken before, but I've never come to a convention and spoke. And I can tell you that I don't care how much time you have, there are definitely butterflies in my belly. I first want to tell you that a little bit about where I came from so that I can tell you why I keep coming back. I used, like most of us, for 17 years, or maybe not everybody used for 17 years, but I did, and I was a late bloomer. I didn't start till I was 17. And using was a way of allowing me to become who I wanted to become. It was my fantasy. When I used, I could do anything I wanted to do, and no problem. And the most important thing to me when I was using was my drugs, my alcohol, and my men. I had no desire for women. I had no reason to have them in my life. And I was a bartender, and I was a person who lived the bar scene, and I worked every night scoping out who I could get, who I was going to take home with me every night. And it didn't matter if they had a date, because I knew they could take that date home and come back and meet me by the time I got off. Not a problem. It was really quite easy, because you know how easy men normally are. And, and I always had something better than their date had to offer. I mean, I had the best drugs, because I didn't cut mine much. You know, I cut it a little bit, not much. And I always had the best stuff, and they weighed what I sold. You know, I wasn't a big-time dealer. I was a small-time dealer. I dealt enough to where I could use, that I didn't have to pay for it. And I always had plenty of whatever. And I always had the best liquor, too, you know. So that after the bar was closed, you would always come to my house and we could party. And the bottom line is, I didn't think anybody would ever love me or like me. And so I bought their friendships, you know. I offered them everything I had. And I think that a lot of us did this. And I had plenty of men because they really wanted what I had. And so through my 17 years of using, I lived in the gutters. I became to a point where I was willing to do anything to get what I needed. Even though I was a small-time dealer, that had to end at some time when I was going to try to stop using. And so I quit my job, and, you know, this is a radical thought of mine. I was going to try to stop, you know. And I quit my job, and I stopped dealing, but that meant I didn't have any more dough. So I had to start selling. I had three of everything. I was a compulsive buyer. I was, you know, I made a little money extra. I made good money bartending. And I was a compulsive buyer. So I had, you know, three TVs, three stereos, three guitars, three everything I had. And most of my friends would come over to see what they could. Back then my name was Little Bit. I was quite small at that time. You know, when you come into the program, you gain a few pounds. But while you're out there using, I was 90 pounds for 17 years. And these people would say, let's go to Little Bit and see what we could get tonight or today. You know, because I'd be up there shooting dope in my room and be so obsessed in the bathroom with what I was doing that I wasn't watching my stereo walking out the door, my TV walking out the door, and would not know who would come and take it. I mean, it'd be one of my friends because they knew they could do that. And I would call my mom complaining and crying, and she says, it's your fault. You surround yourself with these kinds of people, and that's what you brought into your life, and it's you did it yourself. You set yourself up. So instead of crying about it, I learned how to say, okay, well, my fault. You know, no biggie. You know, I lost it. I set myself up. I should have locked my door. You know, whatever. But through my years of using, you know, I did pretty much everything that you can really do. I used every kind of drug you can use. Unless there's anything that's come out in the last 10 years, I've used it, you know. But when I got here, I made a geographical change because I used in Texas. That's where I got high. And I moved here. I moved to Washington, D.C. area to get clean because there were no drugs there. And, you know, I thought if I made that geographical change, my parents lived in that town, that would mean that I wouldn't have a problem. Little did I know, they had drugs there, you know. But when I came, my parents allowed me to come and live with them. And they told me that if I was to live with them, that I had to get help. And so I called NA, the helpline. And I can tell you the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I went through some major withdrawals. I did not go to a hospital. And I'd say within 2 days, my mother had slapped my face and I was in my van and I was headed back out again. You know, I was going to go somewhere. But I didn't have but $8 when I arrived in the town. And I spent that on a box to hide in at my parents' door so I could surprise them at the door when I arrived. Because I called them in August and said I was coming and didn't show up till Christmas Eve. They hadn't heard from me, and they didn't know if I was alive or dead. So, when I got here, I was really, really scrawny and hurting. I had no self-esteem, no self-worth. I didn't know how to love myself. And you know, the majority of the people come in here, they don't know how to love themselves. And that's one of the key things to staying clean. I came in and I did service because I couldn't really write. You know, I couldn't get my thoughts together enough to do anything. And so I went to 7 meetings a week and I did a service position in every one. And it got to be the point where they would say, oh, just ask her to do it, she'll do it. And I was willing to do it. And I have to tell you, service was the biggest part for me that saved my life because it gave me that self-esteem that I needed. You know, to stop using, because I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know how to have life without the use of drugs. It was just too much of a part of my day. Every day for 17 years, I used every day something. And, you know, I couldn't even fathom how you get clean and have fun. How do you, you know, I knew that once you got clean, how are you going to go and jump from bed to bed to bed to bed and still like yourself, you know? Because, you know, that was an issue with me. I came in and they said you couldn't have a relationship for the first year. And I'm going, what? Yeah, that's bullshit. But does that mean, does that mean you can't have sex? You know, because he wanted a relationship, that was what I was after. And I thought, you know, I even went to that SLA, what was it, Sex, Love, Addict, Anonymous, you know, whatever. Well, I went to that because I thought that I had that problem too. I was a sex addict. Come to find out after I'd been clean a couple months, sex was the last thing on my mind. I found out that I didn't know how to be intimate. I didn't know how to enjoy, you know, sex without the use of drugs and alcohol. So I became real boring, in my opinion. I did service, and I did so much service that I started building up self-esteem and learning how to love myself. And I kept crying, oh, I want a relationship. I want somebody who's worthwhile that can love me, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you have to really, you've heard it before, watch what you ask for. When I had 2 years clean, I met a man who was not in the program. He was Mr. Nerd, somebody I would never have even talked to in my past. You know, he wasn't tall, dark, and handsome. He was cute, but, you know, he was short, and, you know, he was a nerd, you know. There was lots of things I didn't really like. You know, he was one of these brain guys in the head. He was very intelligent, you know. And he accepted me the way I was and loved me, and I tried to push him away. I was so self-defeating that as soon as we got in a relationship, it was nice, you know, the newness. So that lasted like 6 weeks, and then it was like no fun anymore. It was boring. It was time for me to move on and learning how to become intimate and having a relationship, growing. It was just something that I couldn't do, you know, and so I did everything I could to sabotage this relationship. I then had to seek some help because I was such an angry person. I was so angry and couldn't accept anybody's love because I didn't have that self-esteem and self-worth, and I didn't think that I was worthy of it. We did get married. I got married at 37 years old, and I had my first child at almost 40. I had my second child at 41. I've been married almost 7 years now. I never had a relationship for more than 6 weeks. You know, and I did the smart thing, you know. I'd let the guy move in with me, and when I got tired of him, I kicked him out because I always had to have a place. I don't want to be the one left without, you know. I always talked down to the guy because I wanted him to want me more. So I used him before he could use me. I would say, that little thing, I'm really sick, or I don't think so. You know, I would get out of, you know. But when I got clean, you know, my husband wanted to get intimate with me, you know, and he loved me, and he knew. I told him everything I'd done. Now, here's a man who's maybe had 4 women in his whole life, not to mention that he's 5 years younger than me, because, you know, I prefer the younger. But here's a man who's only had so many relationships, and I've had, I lost count on 2001, you know, that kind of thing. And the only kind of intimacy I knew was hit and runs, and this man loved me, and he gave to me, and it was so incredible. And he allowed me to do NA service and go to conventions and go to the meetings that I needed to go to, and I went. I just celebrated 10 years clean, and I go to 3 meetings a week now because that's all I really can do with the kids and the family. And I have a home today. I've never had a home. I'm a miracle. I should have died. I can't tell you how many times I did OD. And one time I tried to take my life. I went to, I was DOA, and they brought me back. I was in Juarez, Mexico, and somebody did me too much, and you know, I OD right there in the gallery, you know, and everybody left me, and I was left there to die, and they did what they needed to bring me back, and finally, you know, anyway, I went through a lot of things, and I went through abortions, or I can't tell you how many. I lost count. I can't tell you how many DWIs. I have a record that's incredibly long. I have gotten all my rights taken away from me. I can get them back, though. You can petition to get them back. And that's next on my list. I have not done that yet. I have these 2 kids now that are the most precious things in my life. They are 3.5 and 5. And I can tell you what, they push my buttons quicker than anything in this whole world. I want to strangle, I want to slap, I want to hit, I want to kick, I want to throw, I want to hurt them. And I can tell you, I have come close to these things. And I was abused as a child. I was sexually abused as a child. Every time I used to change my daughter's diaper, I'd freak out if she was red in a spot. Somebody's touched her. You know, I went through those fears, and now, you know, my kids still take showers together. We all take showers together, you know, and it's like, if my daughter reaches over there and swats them on that dinger, you know, I go, stop that, you guys, because my brother did that to me, you know, and it freaks me out. Oh, my God, you know, and today I'm learning how to change my reactions. I have become my mother. Yelling and screaming and complaining and moaning and groaning. That was my mom. Well, that's what I became. And yelling at the kids and doing the stuff that my mother did to me. And I tell you what, it is not a pretty picture. And I don't want my kids growing up being afraid of me. I keep coming back because my kids push my buttons enough to make me want to go use. I keep coming back because I have the fear that if I ever used, I would never make it back. My pride ain't big enough, you know. My ego wouldn't allow me to, and a lot of us don't make it back. You have so many people that know you. You know, it doesn't matter how much time you have. You only have today. And I can tell you that when I first came into the program, another thing that I did is I meditated. I learned how to meditate. For those who don't know how to do that, there's a meditation room here, and it's right over there. My mother taught me how to meditate when I came in here, and that was just taking 15 minutes a day to have quiet time for my higher power, to listen, to try to steal your mind. It's a chatterbox. It chatters, chatters, and chatters, you know, and just try to steal your mind and listen for a message. And God speaks through a lot of us in here, you know. But I've been meditating now for 8 years. 8 years. I got 10 years. I've been meditating for 10 years now. And I can tell you that is also something that I can go to when my kids push my buttons and I want to use or I want to. I mean, I didn't. My drug of choice was not even drinking, although I did drink quite a bit. It was not. But today, when they get me so upset, sometimes I think, God, just a shot of liquor, you know, just that warm feeling going down, that would be so wonderful right now. And I have to remember, you know. You know, if I go out, my kids are going to lose me. I will have no more self-esteem. I have learned to love myself today. It is so important. There are lots of things that I don't know how to... there's lots of things I don't like about myself. And we get confused about this. We think we hate ourselves because we did this or we did that. But the bottom line is we are a being of God. We are one with God. We are a perfect being. It's our actions that are bad. And it's the actions we have to change today. And this is the only place you can come to and keep coming back that it will not allow you to mess up. Because if you do, somebody's going to call you on it. You're going to know it as you do it. You know, when that checkout person gives you $10 too much, you're going to go, okay, see you later. All right, listen, you gave me too much. Because you can't do anything. I mean, you can't help it. Because when you get this program and you start working it and you start to love yourself and you start respecting yourself and believing in yourself, you know you got to do God's will. And that's a no-no. You don't go to this motel and take the towels anymore. I know I used to. I can tell you lots of things I used to do. And I'm telling you, I was sicker than most. I am a miracle today, you know. I do service work. It keeps me clean. I'm doing registration to this whole weekend. You know, we've worked hard. We need lots of service people. If you need to do some service, please come to the registration and ask for me. I'll be glad to put you to work, and you will be able to hug people and feel better. And you keep coming back for the newcomer that cries and says, I don't know how I'm going to do it. You know, and they tell their story, and it's the same story as yours. And they can't think, and they're troubled, and they're so, so incomplete. They've got this void, this hole in their stomach, and they don't know how to feel it. We have to be there. You know, God has given me something that is so tremendous, and that is, He's given me the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope with the newcomers that come in here. And I can tell you, the best way to do it is to go to jail meetings and institutions. And I tell you, I did that the first 5 years of my recovery, and it was the most incredible thing, you know, because I was this white honky that walked in the room with a lot of jewelry on, and they just didn't know that I had a story. I mean, they said, she doesn't know nothing. And then I started telling their story. And they, in those places, they identify out. And here, we don't have to identify. You don't, I don't have to tell you everything I did and how I did it. And, you know, I did brush up on some of it, but the bottom line, in those institutions, they need to hear it, they need to know, you know, because that's their story. And when they know that you did it and you have come through it and look at what you got today, I'm a miracle, you know, and I love my life today. I love my kids even though they push my buttons. I have a daughter that's 3.5 years old, going on 15 already, and I'm here to tell you the look in her face, no. You know, that I can hardly stop from laughing, but I got to be, you know, stern with her. And I mean, she is the spit image of me. Oh my God, if she turns out like I did, I'm in deep yogurt, let me tell you. And those are my biggest fears, too. I keep coming back because I don't want my kids to go out. Now, I can't control that. I'm powerless. But perhaps I can learn in here how to handle them, how to keep on top of the defects that I still have, the defects that I put on top of them, you know, that are going to make them be dysfunctional. You know, because I'm telling you, they're coming from a dysfunctional family now because I am not well. You know, I've got 10 years, but I am not well. I've got so much to continue to work on. I mean, you never are perfect. You just keep striving for it. I believe that one day maybe you may become perfect. But for right now, I got a long ways to come. And this is the only program that teaches you how to keep on top of that. This is the only program that you can come in and most of the time, you're not judged. I have to say that there are times you are judged. People come in and see you come in and out and in and out and in and out and picking up those one-day chips every other week. You know, it's frustrating. You want to say shit or get off the pot, you know. And it's frustrating, but you have to remember they are newcomers. They need us. They need our love. They need our support. And they need our non-judgmentalness. And we are really judgmental because when we get clean, we are right on, right? Aren't we? I mean, we know everything when we get clean. And we can tell you your program, how you do it, you know. Bottom line is we get complacent and we forget that person is in some kind of pain. If we don't keep coming back, who is going to take care of the newcomers? And we love them until they can love themselves. And I'm here to tell you that. I'm okay. I'm here to tell you that, you know, I need the newcomers to remind me where I came from. It's really easy for me to get stuck in my little world at home with my husband, you know, my little house and my picket fence and my new little car and my two little kids, you know, and get into my perfect routine and go, okay, I'm well. I don't need meetings anymore. You know, a lot of us do that. After 10 years, they go, eh. You know, I will hopefully, I can't say I will. I can only ask for God's grace to allow me to continue to come into these rooms and to reach out and to touch someone. You know, if I can just reach one person in my sharing in the meetings that I go to, if I can just touch or plant a seed, even if they don't get it then, if I planted that seed and they wake up a year from now and get it, maybe they've hit their bottom, oh yeah, I remember what that person said. You know, that is God's grace. You know, you can't force people to come in here, but if you keep coming back, you know, it gives them inspiration to keep coming back. I love NA. It saved my life. I can't tell you that I should be dead, because if I should be dead, I would have been dead. God would have taken me a long time ago. He had other plans for me. Or she. He, she. They had other plans for me. I had guardian angels that watch over me. I'm totally sure of that. Many times I could have picked up and somebody intercepted me somehow, some way, and talked to me through God, or God through what you know what I mean, you know, and you know, we're here in God's grace, and I'm going to keep coming back. I love this place, and service and commitment is the most important thing. Love yourself. Be good to yourself. You know, don't try to be perfect. Don't great. You put up these great expectations, because I fail all the time, and it hurts. I put up these big, huge expectations of myself, and I can tell you, I very rarely reach them, and then I'm disappointed, and I'm kicking myself. You know, but I have my friends that I call on a daily basis that are in the program that remind me, you know, that I am a good person and that I am working a good program, and you know, and to remind me to slow down and stop putting such great expectations. I'm so thrilled to be here this weekend, and I got plenty of service work for you and a great meditation room for you to go to, and with that, I'll keep coming back.
Thank you, Susan. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, Mark.
I'm an addict. My name is Martin. First, just in case no one else has told y'all today, I love each and every one of y'all. And I say that because I never could before. And you guys have made it possible for me to genuinely feel that today. Why I keep coming back is because of the love that I found in Narcotics Anonymous. And it's not just the love that I feel for your people. And it's not just the love that I feel for myself. It's the love that I feel for my higher power. I spent 5 years clean saying I know God loves me. And in my 6th year, I found out that I love God. And I'm completely and totally overwhelmed with the happiness and the joy that I experience on a daily basis compared to the horror and the degradation that I faced for 25 years. I can't tell you who I am if I don't tell you where I came from. And I often debate about that, because I really believe that when it comes to using drugs, it doesn't matter how much or how little. I really believe that the feelings associated with it are universal, and that we all experience that fear, and that anxiety, and the paranoia, and the unsurety that comes along with using. But what I can tell you from my own personal story is that by the time I was 8 years old, I had been sexually molested by my uncle. I believe that my parents had allowed it to happen in their house because it happened in their house. I resented my parents from that day forward. I could not forgive them. It was impossible for an 8-year-old or 7-year-old to forgive his parents. I rebelled. By the time they realized what was happening, I had been kicked out of every county school for 3 counties, and I'd been kicked out of 1 county completely, where I wasn't allowed to set foot in it. By the time I made it through social promotion programs, because they didn't want me back the next year, I sat in front of the judge at the age of 17 years old facing 84 felonies. A lot more years than I could even count. I went to prison. I got used to living in prison. I got used to living on the streets. I didn't have a problem. These things were perfectly normal to me. I thought everyone did it. All my friends did. I knew everybody when I got to prison. They were all the guys I hung out with on the streets. You know, it wasn't like I was alone. And God blessed me with 3 beautiful children in my act of addiction. And that's what it took to bring me to my knees. My ex-wife divorced me, took the children, and disappeared for 2 years. The next thing they heard from me, I was standing on a parent's doorstep with a shotgun threatening to kill their entire family if I didn't see my children. I saw the kids about an hour later. and I reached my bottom a couple of days later. At the end of my habit, I was using over $1,000 a day. And I had been doing that for 10 years. And I didn't know anything else. And something happened where I was sitting with my brother and we were using, and I had a ton of dope laying in front of me. And I believe that God came into my life. And I looked at my brother and I said, if I keep on going, I'm going to die. And I never thought about dying before. I just knew that it could happen. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, man. And I kept on smoking. And I couldn't see. I hadn't eaten in I don't know how long. And I went and I asked for help. I picked up the phone and I dialed it by touch because I couldn't see. And someone came and got me. And they took me to the hospital, and the hospital said, there's nothing we can do for you. And I begged them not to put me out on the street because I knew I was going to die. And they said, there's nothing we can do. And they put me out on the street. And someone came for me again that I didn't know and led me to the doors of recovery. And I have not had to use any substance whatsoever since I found that first meeting. When I went to that first meeting, I watched a group of people that I didn't know that I thought were all homosexuals gather in a group and hug each other, and they talked about feelings. They talked about everything that I knew about myself but could never say. And they gave me a hope that I had never, ever experienced in my entire lifetime. And I have been eternally grateful for that. And then they got together and they prayed. And right after the meeting, they broke out fighting. And I knew I was at home. You know what I'm saying? These people are hugging each other and they're fighting in the same meeting, not 30 seconds apart. And I was really overwhelmed, and I kept coming back, and I was absolutely terrified. I was 33 years old, and I was sitting in front of a room full of 15 and 16-year-old kids, and these kids were teaching me how to live. They were teaching me how to stay clean. They were hanging out with me all night, drinking coffee, and carrying my ass because I didn't know what to do. And a guy came up to me. I didn't know how to ask anybody for a sponsor. We always tell someone, find someone who has what you want. Do you know anybody in these rooms that knows what they want when they got 2 days clean? I was lost. I didn't have a clue. If you wrote it on a piece of paper, I couldn't read it back to you. I didn't know what I wanted. And there was a kind gentleman who came to me, and he asked me, he said, do you have a sponsor? And I said, no. And I was pleading when I said no. And he says, I'll be your sponsor. And he stayed my sponsor for 5 years. And he taught me about the steps. And he taught me about walking through my fears. He taught me about overcoming the things that I was afraid of by facing them, by not running away. And the best example I can think of right now to tell you what it's like is that I got a bank account for the first time in my life. Okay? I started dealing with people different than I dealt with people when I was getting high. I didn't say F you when someone made me upset. I would go up to them and say, you hurt my feelings. That upset me. Or I'm scared. Or I'm lonely. I need help. Will you help me? And one of the better examples is sitting here tonight, or today, with me. He was dating my then girlfriend at the same time I was. And I found out about it, and you know, my sponsor would always tell me, he said, that's what you've done all your life, what are you going to do different? And everybody surrounded me, and they said, don't hit him. And really, I wasn't thinking about hitting him at all. I was thinking about doing a lot worse things to him. Hitting him wasn't even in that category. And instead, I walked up to him, and I gave him a hug, and I told him that I loved him. And 2 days later, I went back to him and hugged him again, and told him that I thought I'd found a new friend. And this is how powerful God is in my life today, because I'm willing to take a chance and do something different. I ended up being the best man at this man's wedding. I was honored by his family to ask me to be the godparent of their child. I walked through his entire marriage with him. I'm going through his divorce with him. I'm going through his divorce with his child. My goddaughter. My only goddaughter. If I didn't get clean, if I didn't practice the principles that I learned in the steps, you can bet none of those things would ever be happening in my life today. I would still be in prison. And I know, you can't sit here and tell me that if I wasn't still using, I would be dead. I didn't have anything left in me. And so for that I say I'm eternally grateful. And why I keep coming back is because Narcotics Anonymous offered me hope where there was none. It showed me a new way of life without doing something different. Okay? I sponsor guys that are of color. I sponsor guys that are gay. These things didn't happen in my life. And I care about these men. I love these men as much as if they're my own brother. I have never said no to anyone in Narcotics Anonymous. I have never said no. I believe, and I always believe because of what my sponsor showed me, through example, that this program works and that it's a gift. That it's truly a gift. It's an honor and a privilege to be a sponsor. And anyone that has ever had the honor and privilege of being a sponsor knows what I'm talking about. These guys call me up and they share their deepest fears and insecurities with me and make me look at mine. And then they help me walk through it, and we do it together. Because I can't do this shit alone. I simply cannot. And the fact that I'm here today, I haven't had a ticket on my license in 5 years. You want to talk about a record? Read my driving record. Read my record for penitentiary, you know. I take meetings into the local facilities. In both rehabilitation and into the main jail where they're facing nothing but flat time, you know. And sometimes these guys don't want it. And the only thing I can tell them is where they'll end up. Because I've been there. And I know what it means to be there and be hopeless. And I just keep going. I become intolerant. And the more I become intolerant, the more patience God gives me. He keeps asking me to go back. The only certificate I've ever earned in my entire lifetime, and I mean this, is the one that's sitting at home on my wall. And it's a certificate for carrying meetings into a facility. It's an acknowledgement of gratitude by the facility and the county for my volunteer services. You know, and I didn't expect that shit. And when I got it, I sat down and I cried. And I was happy. My tears today are not a pain. My tears today were pure, complete joy and happiness, and I'm so overwhelmed by it still today that I don't know how to deal a lot of times with being this damned happy. You know, it's like I walk around beaming all the time, and people go, why? I did the gut wrenching, snot blowing, hard ass work in the middle of the night with my sponsor sitting down reading the basic text. Digging the principles out of the steps. There's only one principle in the entire book that comes out and says, this is the principle of step 6, willingness. The rest of them you gotta earn. You gotta dig for them. You gotta find out what they really mean. And then you gotta ask your sponsor, well, how do I practice that in my life today? You know? And then you gotta go out and do it. And I do that on a daily basis. And it's not a sense of pride, it's a sense of gratitude. I'm grateful that I'm able to practice these principles in my life today. And I hope I always remain grateful. If I don't, please tell me that you see that. I like your input. It helps me. I need that. I need people who are not intimidated by me, who will come to me and call me on my shit. You know, because I'm still sick. And if you don't think I am, put a pretty woman in front of me. So, that's all I've got. Thanks for letting me share.
Before we open the meeting up to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the microphone one at a time. Also try to keep in mind that there are other addicts who are waiting to share. If you don't want to be recorded, please inform the person taping so they can turn off the recorder while you are sharing. And they'll be back any minute to turn that off if you want that. You'd like to share?
My name is Peter, and I'm an addict. I was born moderately retarded, and I lived in D.C. and I lived in Upper Marlboro first, and then I moved to D.C. because my father and mother got a divorce at 1969, and I got. When I got older, I was sexually abused by men, and I got into drinking when I was younger, and then I started doing dope, doing drugs when I was 14, and I when I got older, I had other disabilities. Mild cerebral palsy and arthritis and a seizure disorder. Today, I'm being clean, coming up near 7 years, you know. I have all my disabilities are haunting me today because of my mild cerebral palsy is keeping me working at my store, the Safeway, and not gonna work there anymore because I can't stand up long. And I heard what the gentleman was sharing. You know, any meeting, if it's a straight meeting, it's a non-straight meeting. Today I can have a sense of humor. I am trisexual. Yes, everything goes, honey. Yes, I am not boring. I don't like to be boring in life. You know, to help a newcomer in these rooms, I give it up. I share, I leave. And I'm not gonna stop from having a anniversary. I'll have an anniversary for the newcomer.
That's right.
Because the newcomer is the most important person in this world. I was a newcomer, 91, and I've been coming to this building since 92. And this place is great. And don't give up. All the newcomers, don't give up in here. Because this thing is important. It saved my life. I'll say one more thing. When I was around 93, I was talking about my life and everything, and I had a girlfriend, and she said, "Peter, I think it's important right now to talk to your sponsors, to do the steps." And I have tutors, and the tutors helped me with the steps, talking to my sponsors, and then they would do the steps with me. And it works. Thank you. Keep coming back.
I'm an addict. My name is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
And the reason I keep coming back because this shit works. I mean, it's like real simple. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out. I don't know about y'all. You know, because a lot of people I know that got like 5, 6, 7 years tell me shit like, I got a life. I do this and that. I do that. You know, and I don't know what the hell they're talking about. You know, I just celebrated 12 years. I'm about 12 and a half years. I still go to 7 meetings a week. I got a job. I'm involved in area service. We just did a speaker jam last week. PI chair, the same shit that got me clean is the same shit that I do today. I don't know any different. And the reason I really wanted to get up here and talk is because a lot of times in Narcotics Anonymous, we hear a lot of stuff where people struggle. And don't get me wrong, I struggle too. I go through a lot of shit, but I walk through it. But what I like to say is that sometimes we need to talk about the good. I heard this young man talking about prison, and people that know me personally, I got out of prison. Everything I own, you can put in the garbage bag. Everything I own on this earth, you can put in the garbage bag. And I had a TV, and on that TV was a number, 125819. That was my prison number. And I served 13 years. I've been in prison 3 times. You know, and what I need to say today is that same garbage bag is that we can fill up with material stuff, because my life has been totally blessed. You know, I mean, anything you can think of material, we have. You know, we got his and her sports cars, we got house. You know, before I left here, you know, it was real day. And I sold some. You know, and my wife said, well, when they gonna bring the money home? I said, no, honey, they leave the money in the bank and then we'll buy some more of this stuff. You know, and it's like all good. And the only reason that we have this shit is because I come to meetings. But this shit ain't important. The fucking money ain't important. What's important is that I have peace of mind. I have serenity. I can look in the mirror today and I like the reflection I see. I can tell you that I've been to prison and spent 1/3 or 1/4 of my life in prison and have no fear of it. There's no shame in prison. You know, that's where God had to get me to get this message. See, my first 5 years, I got clean in prison. And I don't know about none of y'all, so he's talking about he liked prison. You know, I love prison. Put me in prison was just like putting that rabbit in that briar patch. I was at home. You know, sex, violence, and drugs. That's the things I love in this world. You know, and I had to change some of that. I can't do the violence and can't do the drugs, but I still can do the sex sometimes. You know. But the point is that I've learned how to replace all of the stuff that was important in my life with different things today. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I come back because this work. This is, there's been no other way of life for me. You know, I use and I use, and I didn't know how to stop using. I came in here with people that weren't using, and people have taught me stuff. People have taught us how to deal with, you know, this windfall of having money. I mean, I have friends, and most of my friends are buying stock, and they're telling me, hey, buy this, buy that, buy this. You know, and I'm like, okay, I don't know. And we talk to our broker, and then we figure out whether we're doing the right thing. You know, I didn't know how to do all of this stuff. All I ever knew how to do was steal, use drugs, write bad checks, you know, embezzle money, you know, and just take people's shit with a pistol and want none of that working. You know, and everything is different today. Everything is different in my life today. But the thing that's most different is that, you know, I got paid yesterday, you know, from my job, and I had money when I went home. Mm-hmm. This morning when I woke up, I had money in my pocket. Maybe that ain't no fucking accomplishment for y'all, but for me to get paid and to have money the same night was miracle shit. Talking about having something in my pocket the next day, you're talking beyond my wildest dreams. You know, and the truth of it is, and I'll say this because this is the beauty of this program. Everything that I have, my wife knew about. There's like, there are no hidden bank accounts, ain't no secret money. The check stub goes on the fucking dresser. You know what I mean? My wallet is there. The bank book, she knows where it is. She can read at any time exactly what's there. I do not keep 2 sets of books in my house. You know, the one you show your wife in the real books. You know, there are no secrets. You know, I mean, because that's what a marriage is and a relationship is that, you know, my secrets is the shit that kept me sick. Especially in my home, when I don't want to tell you how much money I make and what I do with my money. You know, what's important is that as long as all of my stuff is on the dresser and you see who I am, there's no shame in my game because you can't shame me with stuff. I either got it or I don't have it. You know, and that's what this program said. You can't get shit away you ain't got. You got to have something to give away. And the only way you're going to get something in this program, you got to do what you always done. At least I had to do what I always done, which is go to meetings, be a part of the service structure, sponsor people, have a sponsor that I really got a real sponsor. I mean, you know, I've been clean, like I said, you know, 12 and a half years, and I'm back on step three again. And I've been here before. You know, and what my sponsor says, when you get to 12, I guess you're going to one next. You know, and the only thing different is, you know, is that it all changes. You know, we're focusing more on the steps with me and my relationship because I just got married. We've been married 2 years. And like I told you, everything I own, I came out of prison in that trash bag. We honeymooned in Hawaii when we got married. You know, we vacationed last year in Tennessee. This year we're already planning. We're going to go to the world in San Jose. It's all been miracles and the shit that we ain't planned, but this is the stuff that happened. Being honest, you know, and for me, it's like not just coming in here and talking that old good NA shit. I'm talking about having a real program that I try to practice in my home where my wife knows what's going on, and I can, honey, is this what you want? You know, and I share this with her. When we got married, it was the same year that the convention was in Paris, and I said, let's get married and have our honeymoon in Paris, and we'll be with 10,000 of our best friends. My wife said, I don't want to hear that shit. She says, I want a honeymoon. And it ain't in Paris. Yeah. And so y'all know who won. We went to Hawaii. You know, because my wife is still the one to say what go on in the house. I don't have no problem with that. Maybe other men need to be big shots in front of other men. You know, what works for me is that I've learned that if I try to treat my wife like I treat these newcomers in these rooms, and then treat the newcomers like I treat my wife, and treat y'all like I treat the newcomers, it works. Because it works from here, and as it get away from me, it's still the same, it doesn't change. The reason I keep coming back is this works, and I'm blessed. I am truly a blessed addict. And the blessing is, I'm clean today. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Hello, fam. My name is Abner McConaughey. First, I'd like to thank my high power for all of the gates of hell. So I can see that's where people live. That's for me. Why I keep coming back? For one, right now I have chills. You know, if you might see a tear, number the tear of joy. You know what I'm saying? I never thought that I would be around people that would love me. You know, and the main reason why I keep coming back is, you know, when my mother put me out. But I'm thank God that she did, because when I came into these rooms, I kept hearing people saying that they glad the girlfriend, the husband, or the wife put them out. And I couldn't understand that. I'm like, my mother put me out. I'm homeless. You know, I don't have nowhere to go. But I stayed here long enough. They say stay here long enough for the compulsion of you to you can leave. That's what I did. Because really, it doesn't. We can all use what make us keep coming back, the things we have to do to stay out there. That what scares me. You know, we can all do what we want to do. What I'm trying to say, the things we have to do to stay out there to keep that thing going. I'm talking about 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning when it's all gone and you blessed everybody and they go to yawning and say it's all time for you to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, and I cuss them out. I ain't going there no more. You know, as soon as I get paid. You know, I get tired of that's paycheck after paycheck, day after day. You know, and I'm tired of walking and standing in the rain and doing all those things that we do. I was listening to the guy with Shane saying that about how he got paid, you know, and the money is still there. You know, I have a bank account. Having a checking account. You know, I always kept asking God for the wrong thing. I kept saying I wanted a credit card and all this and that, right? The closest thing he gave me was a most Visa credit card, you know? But what I'm trying to say is, that told me I could have anything I want. Like he said, we can talk about all the other things. I like to talk about the blessings. You know, it feels good when I go in different rooms and in a different area. Because when I first came in, I did not know nobody. Nobody. Because they said you got to get rid of your old friends. I'm saying, how can I do that? They're the only ones that know me. You know what I'm saying? They said you have to get rid of your old friends. And I took a chance. Because when I came in here, I was willing to give myself a chance. I came here honest. I was open-minded. I was willing. I was tired. Now, I know so many people. So many people. That's why it's kind of hard for me to do dirt. Because I know too many people. Too many people know me. See, I don't know names, but I know faces. You know what I'm saying? And that helped me. I'm serious. Because when I first came in here, I didn't understand. When I went to shopping stores, I was always like this. When I was always like this, my sponsor said, you like that because you're so used to stealing and you don't get, and you're not used to doing the right thing. So in content, in your mind, you know you don't supposed to be grabbing things and putting in your pocket. That's why your hand is where you try to put things at. My hand stayed in my pocket. When I went to the store, my hand stayed under my arm because I want to grab things. I'm still an ass. But the day I realized what I'm doing now, you see, it feels good. I can just keep saying it. It just feels good, man. I read it a condom thing. You know what I'm saying? And really, it's mine today because I paid money for this weekend. I'm living, it's mine. You know what I'm saying? I got a one bedroom, I wash and dry. I ain't bragging, what I'm trying to say is just that I can have a hut or a cap. You know what I'm saying? And y'all said, if you can afford it, do it. And I can afford it. You know what I'm saying? See, Satan has to work. Satan said, no, you got to do this. You can't do that. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. And I prayed. God said, I gave it to you. You can do what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? And it feels like home. What I'm trying to say is, you know, all I got to do is just keep coming back. That's what y'all told me. Keep coming back. You know? And like the guy said, I had my anniversary is not for me. It's for the newcomer. Some people don't understand why I have it at 12 noon. A lot of people at work. There's a 12 noon meeting. It's like a newcomer's meeting. And it's an eating meeting. And when I first came in, I went to an anniversary. And what hit me was the spirit, the family was getting back together and everybody was crying. And I was crying and some more. You know, I was having fun. And that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. I just wanted to be loved. I just wanted somebody to say, you know, I'm going to love you so you love yourself. You know, and that's all I wanted. And that's all I wanted to share. And now I just keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Thank you to those who shared. And did someone read just for today?
I'm Scott Matt. Tell yourself, just for today. My thoughts would be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today. I have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program and will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people are not using, they have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Could we please close the meeting with the circle? Moment of silence.
Temptation, but deliver us from evil. thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Keep coming back.
Yeah.